Tonight, chapter 1, we're going to be looking again at this, and I want to back up on this thing of an inheritance and just make you notice tonight. Let's pray. Father, we sure need you, and I pray that you help us to feed the flock of God in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I want to say, I'm kind of, my spirit stirred. Remember how Paul was at Athens? The Bible said in Acts 17, in his spirit, he was stirred. I was coming to church tonight, my spirit got stirred. And people driving everywhere, come through Mountain Grove, there's people everywhere. But the best I can count, we passed five churches on the way here tonight. The best I can tell, two of them, absolutely nobody in the parking lot, shut down, no church service whatsoever. One, four cars at, and one church had several cars at it, and a lot of cars at, and another was just a few. And I'll tell you what, I drove up here tonight, I want to thank you for being here. I want to tell you right now, I don't intend to let Sunday night services go. And I know that the Bible doesn't say you got to meet on Sunday night, but I tell you something. It says something to your community when the house of the God is open. Amen. And I tell you, it also says something when folks drive by and ain't nobody there and the lights is off on Sunday night. That also says something. And if we don't do anything else and just say we're here, we just need to be here. Amen. So I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. I mean that with all my heart. It really made me have a new appreciation for the effort of people to get to the house of God. But I tell you, he's worth it, amen? Amen. He's worthy of our worship and our time, and it really not much of a sacrifice. We've got cars, and we didn't have to walk. At least I didn't, and hope you didn't either. But in verse number 4 in this epistle of Peter, and I want us to hank in this thing a little bit more tonight on to an inheritance. There's a lot, but the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. We got a great inheritance in Jesus Christ. That song, Be Thou My Vision, Thou Mine Inheritance, Now and Always. Jesus Christ is our inheritance, and in Him everything that He has, we have. Revelation 21, verse number 7 says something interesting. To him that overcometh, he will inherit all things. Now, overcoming is being born again, according to 1 John chapter 5. And because we've been saved, that's what an overcomer is one who's been born again. We've inherited all things. I don't know about you, but this thing ain't looking good. And I'm glad I've got a hope beyond this old world. And I'm glad we have an inheritance. And you know, boy, I'm going to tell you something. It's an exciting thing. But I want to move past on that tonight. And I just want to go over that again, that we got an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. The devil can't mess it up. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for us. Boy, that's a blessing tonight. I want to encourage you by that. And then he gets into this verse 5 thing and says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. The who of verse 5 is the us of verse 3. In verse 3 it says, begotten us. And in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm glad tonight that I'm kept by the power of God. And, whenever I first started preaching, I looked at all those Old Testament people and disciples and everybody. I looked at them almost as holy people that never did anything wrong. And I don't know why I looked at it that way. Wasn't reading my Bible very good, evidently. But as I look back at those people, and if we were tonight to invite several people in the Old Testament to come up to church tonight, but the first thing I want you to, we'd hear what they say about being kept by the power of God. But I want to say this first of all tonight, that the very fact that we're kept by the power of God proves that it is by grace and not by works. Because if we could keep ourselves, it would not be by grace. It'd be by our effort and by our merit or whatever, by our own personal strength. But the fact that it says that we're kept by the power of God. Now, you think about the power of God. I said it, told you last night, I sat out there in the yard and looked, stared up the sky last night. And I looked at those stars and I thought, God got them every one named. He's holding the whole place. I thought about this earth that's spinning. And it's a distance from the sun and the planets and the moon and everything is just right. You know, the Bible says all things by him consist, all things. God's holding it all in place, right where it needs to be. We're not freezing. We're not, burning up. A little bit of movement of the earth and it'd all be over with. And I thought about all those stars and I thought about all that space. And I'll tell you, I've been studying the book of Job hard. And I'll tell you, Job gives you an insight into things that nowhere else in the Bible hardly do you find it. And it talks about this in Revelation talks about the sea of glass. And I'm telling you, I believe that the celestials are, I believe the Bible says this, and I'm jumping rabbit trail, but it said he has set the sun as a tabernacle for the sun in the book of Psalms. You think about that, a tabernacle for the sun. there was a veil in the tabernacle in front of the throne. And I believe God dwells in the north. We know that from Scripture, that his throne is in the north. I believe that these galaxies and all this space that they just can't get, it's the veil between the holy and the most holy place. And I really believe that. And but I don't know, I guess maybe I'm childish. Dad always said, once a man, twice a child. But I have a living anticipation of being with the Lord. I have an anticipation. I'm like a child looking forward to see what God has. When I think about him making all the beauty that he made in this sin-cursed world, as pretty as it is and wonderful it is, I get to think about a new heaven and a new earth, about a place where there's no more Satan, there's no more sin, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death, there's no more graves, there's no more hospitals, there's no more cemeteries, no more funeral homes. Well, there's nothing but God's love and God's light, and we're going to dwell there forever. That's a blessing. That's an inheritance. Amen? That's an inheritance. And so I'm thankful for that, but I'm so thankful that I'm kept by the power of God through faith. I guess I'm foolish, but when I got saved, and well, I'm telling you what, I'm serious about serving God. I really am. If it wasn't a, you know, but I've done things since I got saved I didn't think I'd ever do. If you'd have said to me, you know, 30 years ago, a year or two after I got saved, Reggie, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, you're going to do, and what you're going to go through and stuff, and how you're going to fail God and fail your family and do that which you thought you'd never do, I tell you, I'd have said, no, I ain't. No, I ain't either. I'd have been like old Peter. I'd have said, no, I ain't. I want you to remember who wrote this. Who's the man that God used to write this? Peter. I wonder why God used Peter to write, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Peter knew what he's talking about. Peter bragged and boasted and said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. Everybody else may, the rest of them disciples, they're a bunch of phonies, but not me. Lord, I'll die for you. Turned right around and denied the Lord three times, cursed him. And the wonderful, beautiful part I love is where Jesus said, go, he called his disciples and they said, and Peter. Why did he do that? Because he knew Peter felt like it's over with. I failed God. I messed up. It's too late for me. It's too far for me. I mean, you just think about it. You cussed. You cursed. And three times you openly denied that you even knew who Jesus Christ was. I think we take that too lightly. I really do. And Peter knew what he's talking about. And God used him. Peter knew that he had been kept. That if it hadn't been kept by the power of God, he would have been lost. There'd have been no hope for him. And I want you to get hope out of this tonight. That when you've failed and when you've done what you thought you'd never do, acted ways you thought you'd never act and thought thoughts you thought you'd never think, that if you're saved, if you're his child, if you've been begotten, in verse 3, that he's going to keep you by his power. If he doesn't, folks, I don't know any hope. I don't have any hope to you tonight. If he doesn't keep us, I'm not kept. I sure haven't kept myself. And I want to thank him for keeping me tonight. I'm glad God's got the power to keep us. And you know what? I'm just going to believe him. I'm just going to believe him. I'm just going to trust that he means exactly what he says. Now, I know that those who believe you lose your salvation say, yeah, but Reggie, it says through faith. And if you lose your faith, you won't be kept. Well, I got good news. According to Galatians, it's his faith. You knew what I was going to say, didn't you? You read your Bible real close and you'll find out that the faith you have is his faith. We're nothing. We are nothing. It's his faith. And if it's his faith, it's enough faith. It's the right kind of faith. Who are kept by the power of God. Abraham, we'd sure like if you'd come and talk to us tonight, church. What do you got to say about what Peter said in 1
Peter 5, 1 and 5, we were kept by the, well, he said, I tell you how it is. He said, I was young and married to Sarah, and said, we was headed down to Egypt. And said, I had Sarah on that real nice camel, had that real pretty sequin saddle, had the bridle on. So we looked over her riding on that camel. I said, whoo, she's pretty. You know, every man ought to think his wife's pretty, amen. And about that time, the devil said, yeah, she's pretty. And these old boys down here in town's going to kill you for her. And you know, you better figure out some way to save your spiritual hide, Mr. Faith. And he's riding that old camel down through there. He got figuring out a way to save his hide. And he got down there and they said, you know, who's that? He said, before they said, now, Sarah, he said, you knew I love you, don't you, honey? Yeah. But we get down here. Would you do something for me? Would you tell him? Would you lie like a dog and tell him you're my sister? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. That is one of the lowest down things that ever happened in the Bible. For a husband to tell his wife to a bunch of pagan heathen, sorry, low down scumbags, you tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. I mean, you women kind of just get a little bit ticked if your wife did that, if your husband did that. Do you ever think about how sorry that is? Do you ever think about how selfish that is? Save my hide and throw you in the ditch? That's wicked. That's Abraham. I believe, Abraham get pretty nice and say, Abraham, what happened? He said, I'll just tell you, I was kept by the power of God. Amen. I've been kept by the power of God. I wasn't kept by how great I was and how good I was. I want to tell you something, that's pretty low down. You throw your wife in the ditch so you can save your own hide and tell your wife to lie for you? I mean, I could understand if he had robbed a bank and told her, honey, don't you tell him we didn't do it. I could kind of understand that. But to say, honey, tell them you're my sister so they don't get me and I'm going to throw you to the wolves. That's low down. That's worthless. That's sorry. And you know what he is? He's called the father of faith. I believe if Abraham got up here and I said, Abraham, how have you been kept? Did you live good, never make no mistakes? Did it all just right? No, no, hardly. He said, I was kept by the power of God. Well, you say, Reggie, what about old Lot? Brother Lot, come up here tonight. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I'd stay in the service or not. How many want Lot to come speak to church? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the honest truth. If the Bible didn't say that he was a just man and the Bible didn't say he was a righteous man, I'd say he's in hell tonight. The Bible said he was just and the Bible said he's righteous. Lot, what do you got to say? I guess you've lived a sinless, perfect life, haven't you? I guess you kept yourself, didn't you? What about you? Well, yeah, not really. I don't need to go through the sordid details with you. You've read them, but good land. The first thing he did, he was selfish and greedy with Abraham. I take that. He gets down there and sits in the gate with all them sodomites. Throws his family to the world. Listen, I want to show you how sorry and low down. Offers his daughters. Offers his daughters to that bunch of wolves. That bunch of devils. God has to drag him out. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the reasons that a lot of lost men are not saved. The church somehow or another has perpetrated this holy, 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 holy Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all these people, and as if they were some kind of super saints, and the Catholic Church is really good at it, and they got all these saints, okay, Mother Teresa and all this stuff, and they're supposed to be some kind of super deal, and when the truth about it is, all God is telling us all the way through the Old Testament, these are a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God and kept by the power of God. Well, Lot, what about you? Yeah, what, goes up there and God has to drag him out of Sodom. Sodom basically gets up to mountains, commits incest with his own daughters, gets drunk as a skunk. Lot, tell us how you made to heaven. Tell us why you weren't lost and dropped into hell. Because I was kept by the power of God. Is that an excuse? No, it's not an excuse. I'm going to tell you, when anybody say that's an excuse, you're something wrong in your spirit, something wrong in your heart. You look at that deal and you ought to say, God, keep me from that at all cost. Well, old Samson, what about Samson, great man of God? Samson, how'd you wind up in heaven? Why'd you not wind up in hell? Flesh-chasing womanizer. That's all he was. I mean, just be honest about it. Every time you read about him, I mean, every time he's laying around some harlot's house or chasing some worldly woman. Samson, how'd you get to heaven? Oh, I was strong in the Lord. No, he was kept by the power of God through faith. Let me tell you what really happens to you. What really, really happens to us is that when we see that in all honesty, if it weren't for the grace of God and the keeping power of God, we would be in hell. That there is no good in us, just like the Bible says. That all of our righteousness truly is as filthy rags. You don't really hear this preached very much, in all honesty. It's kind of, we don't want to think. But the truth about it is tonight, am I any better than any of them? I'm really not. I'm not any better than any of them. I'm kept by the power of God. Well, surely Moses. Moses and his rod. I like Moses. They're murmuring and he's mad. That's a real combination. Murmuring and mad. Murmuring and mad. That makes life sweet, doesn't it? Moses, you got to where you didn't even want to live. Kept by the power of God. Why? Wait a minute. I know one, Joseph. Oh, Joseph, he kept himself. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God kept him from Potiphar's wife. God kept him from getting bitter. God kept him. Old Jacob, come up here and give us your testimony. Brother Jacob, come up here and give us your testimony. Oh, I'll be glad to. When I was young, I stole everything I could from my brother. I stole his birthright, stole his blessing, lied to my daddy. This is Jacob, whose name was Israel, who's the father of the 12 tribes. Conniving, crooked, deceiver, thief, liar. I don't know how this is going tonight, but I don't want you to get discouraged about it. I want you to be happy because we've got a Savior that's keeping us in spite of us tonight. Oh, surely Judah, let's hear your testimony. Well, I don't think I want to testify tonight. You talk about reading a sordid story. Read Judah. And Jesus sprang out of the tribe of Judah. And well, Isaac, he was a nice boy. Except the apple didn't drop very far from the tree. Rebecca, we're back down in Egypt. You wouldn't mind telling him you're my sister, would you? So it's, I mean, does the same thing as daddy done. Can you imagine? Where are these guys at? It's just a book full of sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. Kept by the power of God. And you and I are kept by the power of God tonight. Kept by the power of God. So, that's my message. That's my message. I got more. But the Holy Spirit's saying, nah, save it. Stop. Not my typical message, is it? Hard. You see, you know what? I can't get wound up and run all over the place when I'm talking about this. I kind of want to just crouch down behind the pulpit. just a little. Hey, let's rejoice tonight. Let's don't take it flippantly. Hey, you kids, are you listening to me? I did not preach that you can go out and live like you want to. You do that, I tell you, God's going to... You better search those men's lives out. You better find the pain, the sorrow, and the misery that came with all that sin. But I'm glad tonight I'm kept by the power of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you leave out this week, and instead of looking at yourself, look to your Savior. Don't look at how sorry we are. Look how good he is. Don't look how unrighteous we are. Look how righteous he is. It's a brighter look when you look that way. Well, we'll sing a song and go out into the night. Boy.